Cornwall.
It's beautiful, Aditi said.
Rather small, actually, said Jordan.
Quaint.
Smiling, he nodded. Yes, I suppose that's the word for it. Quaint. They were standing at the gate of the cottage that had been Jordan's childhood home. The trees were bare, the grass littered with dead leaves. The wind coming in from the nearby sea was sharp and cold. But as he looked at the old cottage for the first time in nearly 200 years, he saw that Aditi was right. It certainly was lovely. On an impulse, he leaned down and swooped Aditi up in his arms. She squealed with surprised delight. "It's customary to carry the bride over the threshold," he said, delightedly surprised that she felt so light in his arms. In London, Nick, Rachel, and Didi had found an amusement park. The three of them were spending their Sunday exploring the city, and were drawn to the Eye, the huge cantilevered observation wheel that dominated the riverfront skyline. Cree was walking with them, sober-faced, intent, while his team of guards, Nick thought of them as guards, seemed to have blended into the crowd of fun-seekers thronging the park.
"Where's your people?" Nick asked Cree as they edged through the crowd closer to the giant wheel.
"They're around, don't worry. They can see you, even if you can't tell which ones of these people are unicorn agents."
Didi asked, "Are they supposed to be guarding us or protecting us?"
Cree's stolid face eased into a tight grin.
"A little of both."
Rachel insisted that they had to ride the wheel.
"Halfway to the stars," blared the recorded spiel that rang out above the hubbub of the crowd.
"It's just a big Ferris wheel," Cree said, squinting up through the bright morning sunshine.
"The oldest one in the world," said Didi.
"You sure you want to try it?"
"Yes."
Nick disliked heights, but he didn't want Rachel to see his fear. If she and Didi went up and he stayed on the ground, he'd be humiliating himself. So, trying to hide his reluctance, he climbed into one of the passenger-holding glass capsules with the two young women. Cree stayed on the ground, a sardonic, slightly bemused expression on his face. Nick was stunned to see Walt sitting inside the capsule, clean-shaven, his hair clipped short, wearing an impeccable light gray suit and a beaming smile. He looked like a well-groomed British businessman.
"Hello, good people," said Walt as the three of them gaped at him.
"What are you doing here?"
Nick asked as he took a seat facing the black man. Rachel sat beside him, Didi beside Walt.
"Actually, I've come to see you."
And the wheel started into motion, lifting their cage off the ground.
"All the way to London?" Didi asked.
"All the way to London," Walt replied amiably.
Looking into Nick's eyes, he asked, "How are you, friend? How is the Star Traveler treating you?" Feeling a little confused and more than a little wary, Nick muttered,
"Fine." Rachel offered, "He's on Nick's blog just about every day. Nick has millions of followers, thanks to Jordan."
"Jordan?" Walt echoed. "He's not Mr. Kell anymore."
"He's been very good to us," Rachel said.
"Naturally."
"What do you mean by that?" Nick asked.
Walt shrugged his narrow shoulders. "Why shouldn't he be good to you? You're giving him worldwide publicity every day. You're showing everyone that he's a sweet, peaceable, trustworthy gentleman."
Nick heard that tinge of sarcasm in Walt's tone.
"Well, he is, kind of."
Walt nodded knowingly. "Of course he is, as long as he's running for election. But what happens after he gets himself onto the World Council? With your help?"
"He said we'd be free to go home."
"And the charge of attempted murder that's still hanging over you?"
Rachel said, "We'll be on probation."
"Probation? You'll have to report to a probation office. They'll tell you what you're allowed to do, where you're allowed to go. Like captive animals."
"It's better than being frozen," Rachel said.
With a philosophical tilt of his head, Walt admitted, "Yes, I suppose it is." Nick saw that they were high above the ground now. But aside from the river threading through the city, there wasn't much to see aside from the clustered towers of Greater London that stretched out all around them, dwarfing them, making Nick feel like a guinea pig in a spinning cage.
"We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jordan," Nick reminded himself. "We'd be frozen bodies, in permanent storage."
"Jordan's treating us okay," he said to Walt. "Nobody else lifted a finger to help us."
Walt gave him a pitying smile.
"I admit that Kell has played his little game expertly."
"Game?"
He wants to convince the world that the aliens are no threat to us. Getting elected to the World Council is part of his plan.
You think? Didi asked.
What other reason does he have for treating you so magnanimously? Walt hesitated barely a moment before adding, Unless it's to get close to Rachel and Didi.
That stung Nick. He heard himself say, He's got a wife, for cripe's sake.
An alien from another world.
Rachel said, He's never come on to me, you, Dee?
Didi shook her head.
I wish.
With a cynical smile, Walt said to Nick, And where is the saintly Mr. Kell now, may I ask?
He took the day off, Nick answered, almost sullenly. He's showing his wife where he grew up, Rachel said. In Cornwall, Didi added.
Very romantic, said Walt, if that's what he's actually doing.
You don't think so? Nick challenged.
I have no way of knowing. Do you? Walt stared bored into Nick. After all, you're the ones who are under guard, not him. He's free to go and do what he wants. An icy silence filled the capsule.
The wheel was swinging downward now.
Slowly, slowly, they were returning to the ground. Walt sat silently, watching Nick intently. It made Nick uncomfortable, but he tried to hide it, tried to keep from squirming. At last Walt spread his long arms and said,
Well, I really came to see if you were all right. You appear to be in good shape.
Yeah, Nick muttered.
Good. Enjoy yourselves while it lasts.
The wheel stopped, and a robot attendant opened the door to their capsule to let them out. Walt helped Didi to her feet while Nick sat unmoving, the expression on his face a mixture of puzzlement and resentment. As he stepped back onto terra firma, Walt turned and extended his hand to help Rachel step onto the platform, and he saw Nick's face scowling at him.
The seed's been planted, Walt thought. Now to help it grow.
Aditi and Jordan stood at the edge of the cliff and watched the sun go down into the surging sea, turning the sky into a magnificent palette of violet streaked with glowing pink streamers of clouds.
The ocean was much lower when I was a lad, Jordan said. It's climbed halfway up the cliffs.
No beach left at all.
It's so beautiful, she murmured, leaning against him.
Jordan wrapped his arms around her waist.
I knew you would like it.
How could I not?
With a wry smile, he asked, How would you like to spend the rest of your life here?
With you.
Of course with me. Who else? He mock growled.
There's no one else in the world for me, Aditi said.
No one else in two worlds for me, he replied.
Slowly, reluctantly, she disentangled from his embrace.
You've got a full day tomorrow back in London.
Jordan nodded, but said, Let's wait here a while. The stars will be out soon. I'd like to watch Sirius rising. But he knew she was right. There was still so much to be done.